Hey, this is Gray Cook, and welcome to Gray Cook Radio, where I talk with my favorite publisher about the questions that we've generated from our work.
We have a question here from our pal, Dan John. He asks, well, he actually has a comment first, and it's from the Movement book, and he says, frankly, I was amazed at the concept and insight about self-limiting exercises. It seems an entire training program can be based upon this idea. Is this a new paradigm for training? Can this idea be taken out of just a nice chapter and be expanded into a fitness revolution?
At one point, I didn't think so, but I think it's an empowering concept, and it explains so much of what works. Without having to take it to a lab, all the things that have helped children play on the playground and actually develop into an athlete without ever having any athletic coaching, jumping and climbing and running and balancing on a beam and lifting awkward things, some way have this great integration in teaching, and it's in a nonverbal way. And so when I mention trying to balance on a paddleboard while you paddle it, trying to use a kettlebell, invert it, trying to jump rope, these things, you don't have to so much read the rule book, because as long as you try to do it wrong, you can't even do it. And so when I think back to, you know, how old is exercise? How old are the systematic methods of doing and rehearsing movement? And without a lot of instruction, you'll quickly figure out how to run barefoot, because all other alternatives are very uncomfortable. And so I just think, what a neat concept, because you can witness it in preschool as toddlers are learning to walk when they don't do things right. When they turn their head and don't maintain their balance, they fall over, and they soon figure out how not to do that anymore. So I really think in this modern day of overanalyzing every fat gram and repetition we do, wouldn't it be great just to run down through the woods, and you get to a log that crosses a ditch, and you balance yourself on that, and then you climb over something, and all these things, if you don't pay attention to your balance, if you don't pay attention to the terrain and how your foot hits the ground, if you become disengaged and just want to watch Fox News and walk on a treadmill, that's fine, but you're going to trip up. And so anything that forces you to engage and also bring a certain degree of integrity to your work, I consider self-limiting, and in that, I think there's a revolutionary concept.
I really like it, too. I just hadn't heard of it before, and it made so much sense.
I have to give Christopher McDougall credit, because as he, in his very, very, very good writing style, articulated what barefoot running actually meant, he used that term. He's probably alerted a lot more people to the concept than maybe my reach ever could. But the funny thing is, when I was teaching therapeutic exercise courses way back early in my career as a young physical therapist, I took a piece of red TheraBand, and follow with me, little word picture here, tied a knot in it somewhere between the size of a tennis ball and a golf ball. And then I took a participant and backed him up to the wall so that the knot of the TheraBand was between their shoulder blade, their scapula, and the wall. So they were standing with their buttocks, heels, head, and shoulder blade to the wall. I then draped the red TheraBand over the same shoulder and said, I want you to punch. I want you to do a tricep press. I want you to basically extend your arm in any direction at 90 degrees or below. And, of course, the minute they extended their arm, they gave up their scapular pressure on the wall. So I used that concept to say, you're giving up your stability to gain strength or mobility. I saw my colleagues sending patients home with these exercises where they only focused on the tricep. And then I saw the patient reproduce the exercise, and they had this horrendous anterior head posture and flexion. So I said, how can I make you stand up straight and do your exercise at the same time? And I said, well, if I create a limitation, meaning you are the anchor, and I make you press that knot against the wall as you press, you're going to quickly find out which one of your shoulders is less stable at rep 3 or rep 4 or whatever. There's only two things that are going to help this situation. you either have to stretch out the anterior muscles that are pulling your blade off the wall, like your pec minor and your pec major, or you're going to have to get in greater touch with your motor control and not rob Peter to pay Paul, which means moving your scapula just because you move your fist. The hardest punches of all time, they know how to stabilize their shoulder, grab some power from the ground, and pop you with their fist. Those people who try to elongate their reach by losing the integrity of that shoulder blade forward, letting it that shoulder blade spill up and forward, that punch doesn't hurt that bad. I'm sitting here driving along in my car listening to Born to Run, and Christopher McDougall talks about self-limiting exercise, and of course, I'm high-fiving myself through the sunroof saying, yes, that's exactly what I was trying to articulate with my little red piece of TheraBand. And that's what I try to articulate when we do a narrow-based half-kneeling chop or lift, or when we do an inverted half-get-up with kettlebells, or a single-leg deadlift. If you do that wrong, if you try to pull that weight too hard, you lose balance. That exercise isn't just about your strength. It's about the strength you can apply in the presence of impeccable balance. Not outside of it.
I really like it. I hope you pursue the topic.
I think I might do that.
Thanks very much. Let's do this again next week.
We will. My pleasure.